Jayom Vishnu Pad Paramahans Pariva Chakacharja Astotara Satashri Sriman His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavindaki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Raj Granta Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Sisi Kishor Kishori Ki Sisi Gornitai Ki Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Harinam Sankirtan Ki Gaur Premanandi. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, continuation with our pre-Srimad Bhagavatam class discussion on some tips on chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Japa. So we mentioned the importance of a few things, some practical, some devotional. One was to what? What was one of them? Let the ladies. This ladies is a very silent, turn to Moni Babas over here. Very silent. Yes. Huh? Don't try to get the ecstasy. Just chant to approach Krishna nicely. The ecstasy or the happiness that comes from chanting, which is the complete happiness, is come by way of Krishna's grace. Mm-hmm. When he wants to reveal himself. And so, because as soon as you come in contact with Krishna, you automatically become happy, or ecstatic, joyful, free from anxiety. It's natural. It's not like he has to turn on the happiness valve and then you get happy. No, as soon as you come in contact with Krishna, you're happy. So if you're not happy, you're not in contact with Krishna. That's as simple as that. So we want to come in contact with Krishna. So this is the best way, is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And as Krishna is pleased and satisfied with our approach to him and his holy name, we will experience his presence, and that will cause us to be happy and ecstatic like that. Another feature, get the Vedabase ready today too. I have another one that Gokulananda, you have your little Vedabase today? Yeah. Turn to Chaitanya Charitamrita chapter 17. Yes. Yeah, don't try to squeeze it in. Japa is not a race. Japa is not a beat the clock. You remember that TV show, Beat the Clock? It goes way back. We're not trying to beat the clock. We're trying to beat our minds into submission into the holy name. So therefore, it's not trying to squeeze your rounds in. And you'll find, and this is actually a fact, if you're chanting nicely, time will go faster than when you try to force the time element by trying to go fast automatically. You know why? Because concentration speeds up the time goes fast. The more you're concentrated, the faster your rounds go. You may not see that, even if you think you're chanting slowly, but if you're concentrated, time goes fast. You can chant rounds in 6 minutes, 6.5 minutes, sometimes 7, if you're concentrated. If you're not concentrated and you're trying to go fast, your mind is just jumping like a, what? Monkey, frog. Monkeys and frogs, and what else jump? Ladies? What else jumps? Kangaroos, all right, we got one. They jump so much the kid falls out of the pouch, boom. Where'd the kid go? Oh, there he is. So, yeah, that's a very essential point, because that's from Sanatana Goswami. He gives 6 principles on what we say, how to chant japa nicely. And one of them is, how does he say it? Don't try to finish. Just, you know, try to hear. Like that. So that's a primary principle. It's coming from Sanatana Goswami. It's not some ISKCON idea, which a lot of them are, but that one's not. That's Sanatana Goswami. So anything else? What was another one we discussed? Jai Jagannath? To help to accent concentration, we try to hear the first Hare. It's more like an entrance into the rest of the mantra. And it's the entrance of the hearing. So do that, Hare Krishna. Even if you have to emphasize that Hare like that. So it helps a lot. And it's also philosophically correct because we approach Krishna by approaching Krishna through Radharani, like that. No, I'm not. You should concentrate on the whole mantra, but to access increased concentration, this is a technique. That's all. It's not like you choose which mantra, which part of the mantra you like. It's not like that. No, the whole mantra, ultimately, but to help, it's an aid to accessing concentration by focusing on the first Hare. I also found out, for me, I discussed this with Satchinandana Maharaj, and I said, also on the first Rama, he basically said no, just on the first Hare. But I find that when I also do the first Rama, it also helps too. But he disagreed with me on that one. But that's an individual thing. So basically you can decide how best to chant like that. Okay, what else did we... I think that was it, right? As far as the different techniques or ideas. Which one? Oh, yeah. We did this one yesterday. This is what? What is it called? Mudra. It's a mudra. It's a mudra of concentration. Yogis use this. You see, yogis are like this. So you have to do something with this left hand. Sometimes people just put it, you know, shove it behind the back so it doesn't get in the way. Or put it on, you know, on the knee or on the head or something. Do something. Well, this is the best way. It's like this one has got the beads. Srilaharidas.com, if you see murtis of him, he's holding his beads close to his heart. And then at the same time, he has his hand on his leg like this. But this is also good. I can't see that far. Okay. So this helps. And when I told the devotees during the Japa Mela camp, some of them said, yeah, it kind of helps to some degree. It helps concentration. And okay, so these are the ones we discussed. I got one for you today. This one's important. And that is clear pronunciation of the name. This is really important. It's Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What is it not? Boy, I'm really going today. I'm getting my rounds done. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. That's what it sounds like. So, okay. Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chapter Adi Lila, chapter 17, verse 32. This is Srila Prabhupada's purport on some technique for chanting. Someone can read? Either one of you two can read. Who has it first? This is Krishna Das Kaviraj speaking. That That's Trinada Peace in I Ching Na verse. That's what he's referring to. Purport.
That chanting involves the activities of the upper and lower lips as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting. Instead of chanting with the proper pronunciation.
It sounds like the radiators, you know. Oh, is that you? No, I thought we were getting some heat.
Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting with the proper pronunciation with the help of the lips and tongue. Chanting is very simple, but one must practice it seriously. Therefore, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, advises everyone to keep this verse always strong about his neck.
Mm-hmm. So, Hare Krishna. I find clear pronunciation increases the ability to concentrate because you hear the sound clearer. Whereas if you're just pushing the sound, the letters together, and making the hissing sound or some other, what we say, signal to whatever demigod you're chanting to. Then you can hear nicer. And that's the idea. When the sound is clear, the concentration becomes more accessible. I find that anyway. So it's not a matter of race. Yes, Himanshu. They say what? Hare? Like hi? Like what? Hare. Hare.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Hare. It's Hare Krishna. Sometimes we say Hare. Hare. But if the R is there, Hare Krishna. Hare. Hare you, Hare me. What day is it? Hare. It's today. So one devotee, I mean, this has happened a few times. Somebody got a tape recorder and put it next to devotees when they chant and then played it back for them. That's me. Yeah, that's you. No. So, yeah, sometimes we find that we think we're actually doing, but we have to practice. So really, the idea is, if you listen to Srila Prabhupada on his japa tape, he starts off very mechanically and very slow. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, like that. What is he doing? He's helping us to access the concentration. And then as the concentration increases, then the speed automatically increases. So try to catch that sound. The first mantra, the first round, in my own job, it takes me a long time because I really go slow on the first round until I can actually, my mind starts to realize what it's doing. Yes.
I had a few questions about this. One question is, when I find when I do that, like very much focus on each word and concentration.
You can't do that through the whole time.
Yeah,
your mind will just space out. It also space out too.
Yeah, and that was my going to be my second question. It allows room for.
Yeah, you have to see what works as far as concentration. I mean, this is a general feature where generally, because we're not concentrated on this sound, we have to bring it into the sound. If you go fast, sometimes you think you're hearing, but you're not. You're just going fast. That's all. You're really missing a lot of the syllables. So make sure you're hearing, and then the speed will automatically increase. Amongst all these different techniques, there is the element of bhakti, which is prominent. Therefore, japa really means to call out to Krishna for his mercy, to pray to Krishna to come and sit on the holy name of my heart. Like that. It's a devotional aspect. These things help access the mood, but ultimately it's all devotional. So I'm just giving some general ideas. In your own experience, you can see how you can adjust things. And Krishna's in your heart. He'll show you if you're sincere. These are not absolute principles. These are just ideas or techniques. Yes, you had a question? No, okay. No, she didn't have one. Okay. So if you go too slow, one of the things, if you're tired and you really go slow, you can forget about it. You know, it's like two hours later, I got three rounds done. You can't fall asleep during japa. It's an offense, actually. And it causes one to, you know, be, what we say, inattentive in their service and in so many other things. So one has to stay awake during japa. It's important. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this as being a form of inattention sleep. And he gives three forms of inattention: other thoughts, lack of enthusiasm, and sleep. These are the three forms of inattention. So if we're tired, we can do a few things to stay awake, but if you're too tired, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, take rest and then chant later when you're more rested. If you're just too tired. But generally, try to stay awake. Maybe a little walking around, a little water on the eyeballs, like that. Put some water on the eyeballs, not on the eyes. No, it doesn't work. That's an old trick for staying awake for driving. You put the water on the eyes, it keeps you awake when you're driving. Okay, so the holy name. Any more comments, questions? Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 4, Chapter 31, chapters entitled Narada Instructs the Prachetas, text number 5. Pracheta uchu swagatam te sarasedhya trishyano darshanam gataha tavat chankran manam brahman Abhayaya yata ravehe prachetasa uchu swagatam te sarasedhyaha dishyano darshanam gataha tava chankra manham brahman Abhayaya yata ravahe prachetasa uchu Swagatam te sarasedhyaha. Drishyano darshanam gataha. Tava chankram manam brahman. Abhayaya yata ravahe. Ladies. Prachetasa uchu. The Prachetas said, Su agatam, welcome, te, unto you, Suras Rishe, O sage among the demigods, Adya, today, Drishtya, by good fortune, Na, of us, Darshanam, audience, Gataha, you have come. Tava, your Chankramanam, movements. Brahman, O great Brahmana, Abhayaya, for fearlessness. Yata, as Ravahe, of the sun. Translation. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. All the Prachetas began to address the great sage Narada. O great sage, O Brahmana, we hope you met with no disturbances while coming here. It is due to our great fortune that we are now able to see you. By the traveling of the sun, people are relieved from the fear of the darkness of the night, a fear brought about by thieves and rogues. Similarly, your traveling is just like the sun, for you drive away all kinds of fear. Purport. Because of the night's darkness, everyone is afraid of rogues and thieves, especially in great cities. People are often afraid to go out on the streets, and we understand that even in a great city like New York, people do not like to go out at night. More or less, when it is night, everyone is afraid, either in the city or in the village. However, as soon as the sun rises, everyone is relieved. Similarly, this material world is dark by nature. Everyone is afraid of danger at every moment, but when one sees a devotee like Narada, all fear is relieved. Just as the sun disperses darkness, the appearance of a great sage like Narada disperses darkness. When one meets Narada or his representative, a spiritual master, one is free from all anxiety brought about by ignorance. Om Agyantimirandasya Gina Jana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobis Tam Staptitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Padantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sya Dvaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gauda Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Fear. So this material world is characterized by fear. It says, from the highest living being in the material existence, Lord Indra, down to the injured Gopa germ, which is considered the smallest of all living entities, everyone has the element of fear. Fear, what is fear? Fear, Prabhupada says, means two. The number two. Two. To see something outside of Krishna. That means one becomes fearful. So one who sees Krishna and everything in Krishna, can be relieved from the element of fear. But fear is very difficult. It's easier to get over lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride. But fear is a difficult one because fear is there with everyone. And what is the ultimate fear that's mentioned? Death. Everyone is afraid of losing this material body because they live for the body, and when they die, when the body goes, they feel like it's the end of everything. So this fear is characterized by this material existence. So there is a thing called abhayam. Abhayam, abhaya. Abhayam means fear, abhayam means without fear, fearlessness. So Srila Prabhupada's name was A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A.C. means Abhay Charanaravindam, one who fearlessly takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, or one's the Lord's pure representative, can be freed from the element of fear. As is mentioned here, using the example of Narada Muni, who has come into the life of the Prachetas, they're so happy to see them, they say, swagatam. Sometimes we say, su-swagatam, right? That means very much welcome. And we offer Lord Jagannath these terms, su-swagatam. Or swagatam means welcome. They're happy to see him. And they're also asking how is his welfare. But they understand that he's come to dissipate ignorance. Darkness, fearlessness, is signified by ignorance. Ignorance is what? Ignorance is that principle where one sees duality, or one lives within the realm of duality. You know, we can't get away from duality because duality is the material nature. There, whatever you see one side, you see the other. There's always dual. This is the nature of duality. Where there's heat, there's cold. Where there's honor, there's dishonor. Where there's happiness, there's distress. So an item is known by its, where there's life, without, life means without death. When there's death, there's no life. So these things characterize the material energy. How to get free from these things? Here it says the presence of the Lord's pure representative. Automatically, the example is giving that just like at the night, sometimes I know, like when you're a little kid, or even now, if somebody shuts the lights off, or you go into a dark room in your house, you know there's nobody there, but still, ooh, can't wait to get to the light switch. It's like, you know there's nobody there, but still the darkness has a certain element about it where you feel some anxiety, maybe small. If you go into a place you don't know and it's dark, then ooh, what else is in there, you know? Spiders and cockroaches and so many other evil things, you know. Some man is just waiting for you to come and grab you. So this is the material world. And we get, what we say, afflicted by this consciousness due to, you know, the attachment of the material body. Due to the attachment of the material body, we are seeing the material world in one way, and that is to try to avoid the difficulties and try to go for the gusto or the happiness in this material world. But fear is always there. The idea is to get mitigated, to become completely fearless. That's Krishna consciousness. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, how do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna? He says, fearless. So that means when one is associating with Krishna, there's no question of fear anymore. Or when the presence of the Lord's pure devotee enters into our life, either personally or by their instructions. Here it's talking about personally, because the personal presence dissipates all the anxieties in our mind and makes us peaceful. And we feel now we can connect with God through his representative. And, as it says, that the pure devotee carries the Lord within their heart. So wherever they go, they're like a place of pilgrimage. And Maitreya Muni was glorifying, who was it? What's that sage? Vidura was glorifying Maitreya Muni, yeah, I'm sorry. Vidura was glorifying that, you know, sages like you are a virtual place of pilgrimage. Why? Because you carry the Supreme Lord within your heart. That's why great souls are very special, because their association is the association with Krishna, practically, directly. So they're given all honor and all respect here. And what do? They dissipate the darkness of ignorance. How do they do that? By giving us assurance, just take shelter of Krishna. Just take shelter of devotional service. Just chant the holy names of the Lord, and you'll be happy. You'll be free from anxiety, be free from fear, you'll be free from the bodily concept of life. So they give assurance. That's an important word. Assurance means some, let me say, positive feeling of success, that if I simply do this, then I can achieve, what we say, the goal of life. I can be happy. Ultimately, I can be happy and free from anxiety. Wherever there is anxiety and fear, happiness is non-existent. So in order to access that happiness, we have to dissipate these forms of ignorance. So the spiritual master, the pure devotee of the Lord, he comes on behalf of the Lord to destroy the darkness of ignorance in the hearts of all living entities. And that's his service. Simply his presence, by his words, or by service to him, all these things can eliminate the anxiety and fear in our hearts. And that's why they say that more glorious or more beneficial or most beneficial is not the association of God, but the association of God's pure devotee. Because to get the association of God is very difficult. But to get the association of the Lord's devotee means to get the association of God. That's why the great devotees are seen as good as God. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadan naguti kutopi. By the grace of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of the Lord. Without the mercy of the spiritual master, naguti kutopi, it's useless. Shramaiva hi kevalam. So we strive for and we focus our consciousness on getting the association and getting the mercy of the great souls. That is the key to devotional service. So therefore, one has to take shelter. And there's two ways, personal association and instructions. Personal association opens up the door to the instructions, but the instructions are ultimately association. Because when the personal association is not there, our connection is through the instructions. The instructions keep us connected to Krishna and through the process of devotional service. So how important it is to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master or the pure devotees of the Lord. And they travel. They go from town to town, country to country, village to village, as Prabhupada said, simply to do one thing, to bring Krishna into the life of others. That's their only business. They have no business other than that. If one has another business other than that, then they can't be classified as Krishna's pure representative. So that's the main thing, is to take shelter. And when you're free from fear, you're happy. What is fear caused by? Sometimes people are so fearful. I was just, I don't know how I came across this, but there's a website on the internet where it has a whole listing of phobias. Have you seen that? And in other words, phobia means fear, right? Yeah. There are people who are fear of flutes. Flute phobia. Imagine if that means they have a problem with Krishna because he's always playing his flute. There are people who are afraid of chimes. You know, these chimes, they have a fear. When they hear it, I know one girl, she was telling me, I'm afraid of frogs. I can't stand frogs. Just to think about frogs, it's horrible. I know when I was growing up, I was always afraid of spiders. You know, I guess that's quite common for little kids. Even when you grow up, sometimes, you know, you still have that fear of spiders. The spiders are just, it's low class. they don't have any sukriti at all. So, there's fear of so many things, right? This website had listed more than 100 different types of phobias, right? So these are all due to contact with the material energy in an awkward way. So how do you get over fear is take shelter of devotional service. But fear is what we say fortified by absorption in the temporary. This is what Prabhupada explains. The more you're absorbed in the material life, the more fearful you will be. And, you see sometimes rich people, what do they have? They have dogs, guards, bars, so many things around their houses. I think one of the biggest businesses is the security business, right? Locks, keys, guns, right? People are afraid of everything. Sometimes they're afraid of their family members too. So, fear is such a powerful element, and it pervades people's consciousness. On the external level, as far as losing something that I have, or on the internal level, losing my health or my life or whatever. But a devotee's fearless. A devotee's not foolish. Foolish means carefree, not being cautious. That's another type of foolishness. It's not fearlessness. Sometimes you see people, we call the word flippant. They just act whimsically whenever they want to act whimsically. And they think, well, I'm fearless because, I just do whatever I want, whatever I want. But that's another form of foolishness. They get trapped by the material energy too and act in the wrong way and get caught. But a devotee has one kind of fear, and Prabhupada talks about it. It's called the healthy fear. What is that healthy fear? Afraid of falling into Maya. One should cultivate this fear. This fear of, again, being pulled in by the material energy and, again, being what we say, under the influence of the modes, especially passion and ignorance. So that fear is healthy, which keeps one aware of how important it is that devotional service should be executed at every moment. In other words, being careful not to make a mistake, to say the wrong thing, to do the wrong thing, to act in the wrong way at the wrong time. So the devotee can easily get caught by material energy if they're not careful. Prabhupada says, Krishna's here, Maya's here. What is that verse? Krishna Bulia Boja Kare Japati? Japati Adare. Prabhupada quotes that often. Krishna's here, Maya's here. You move this way, you got Maya. You move this way, you got Maya. You move this way, you got Maya. In other words, to keep your consciousness on Krishna means to fine tune your life in such a way that you're thinking and doing things in relationship to Krishna at every moment, whether chanting, serving, reading, praying, or just thinking about Krishna. like that. Otherwise, if a consciousness deviates, you can expect that any moment something could happen, and again, you could be victimized by Maya. What is that victimization? You start looking towards Maya for happiness or sense gratification. So one has to be very careful in the execution of one's devotional service. Careful means conscious. Prabhupada says conscious and cautious. Conscious of Krishna, cautious of Maya, like that. What is Maya? That which drags our mind and intelligence away from devotional service, like that. So that's where the devotee can cultivate real fear. I'm afraid of going into Maya. So therefore, Prabhupada gives us a blue pattern, a blueprint on how to act and think in everything. If you're in your home with your family, what do you think? Well, I got family responsibilities. But who are your family members? They're part and parcel of Krishna. So you have some responsibility to serve them and take care of your needs in the family, but do it as a service to Krishna and offer the results to Krishna. I take care of my child because my child is not, it's my child, but at the same time, it's been given to me by Krishna, so I can take that child and grow, teach them Krishna consciousness like that. And my mother is there. Who is my mother? She is the person who has brought me into the world and given me this body. But she hasn't given me life, she's given me this body. My real life is coming from Krishna, because I'm part and parcel of Krishna. So I respect my mother, I honor my mother, I worship and serve my mother, but as a duty in relationship to that role as mother and son or daughter. So we can use, even in a workplace, I think last Christmas we had this devotee from Alachua, Ramania, I think it was named. He gave a whole seminar. I remember I was sitting here, he was over there, he was talking about how to become Krishna conscious at your work. And he had been in a workplace for 28 years as a devotee. And he had somewhere took some notes and used his intelligence how to become somewhat free from the environment that he's in. And I still have that. He sent that to me. I put it on my computer. And sometimes people ask me, I got a job and I got to go to work and people around me are not so nice sometimes. What do I do? So there's certain techniques, which is the basis of our philosophy, that can be applied even in those things. So therefore, a devotee is always thinking, "Now I got to somehow or other avoid Maya." Where does Maya start? Maya starts in the mind. Mind starts bringing on thoughts that are contrary to our devotional service, or just useless. Totally useless, have no value at all, and just the whims of the mind. More like, the leaves, they blow in the wind, and you see a red leaf, a blue, a brown leaf, a green leaf, and it's just the wind blowing. So the winds of the mind just blowing up the thoughts that are there in the unconscious and in the conscious, and what do you get? You're in a whirlwind. It's not so safe because there's no stability in a whirlwind. And sex, when the sex desire is like, what's it say in the Bhagavatam? That the desire for sex is like being caught in a whirlwind. Because it's like you become blinded by the dust that the whirlwind kicks up and it gets in your eyes and you can't see anything. So sex desire is like having dust in your eyeballs. It's not very nice. So, therefore, you can't see. You can't see Krishna, you can't see anything else. All you can see is how to satisfy that in your senses. So, therefore, one has to apply. You all look quite scared. This class is it really making you that scared? No. Okay. You can relax a little bit. I'll tell a joke if it gets too heavy. But these are important principles to understand in order to deal with the material energy, because we have to. We're involved with this material energy. So the essence of Krishna consciousness is, satatam kirtayam tomam. Always remember Krishna. Always think of Krishna. And wherever you are, if you think of Krishna, you're free from the effects of the material energy. Okay, so darkness, ignorance, fear, all things that drag us down and cause us unnecessary trouble. Take shelter of the light. What is the light? This is the light. This is a bright light, the knowledge in Bhagavatam. Gives us the direction how to get out of this darkness of ignorance and how to see clearly three things. You, yourself, Krishna, and your relationship with Krishna. Okay, any questions? Anyone? Sorry for the fast class, but I wanted to get everything in.
Maharaj, in my practical experience, I have a certain solidarity in my practice of Krishna consciousness in terms of chanting.
Solidarity?
Yeah, a certain solidarity, not like totally solid. But
you mean routine, you mean?
Yeah, like routine.
Yeah, no, okay.
When I chant in the morning, I don't take rest. I don't sleep while I'm chanting. I like to read Bhagavatam for many hours and so on. But I still see in my consciousness a strong attachment for sensual enjoyment. And I get afraid that even if I was able to maintain throughout my entire life some form of practice, but I see my consciousness is still very much attached to sensual enjoyment. I get afraid that, this is going to be like...
Do you actually believe your consciousness?
Huh?
Do you believe it?
Do I believe my consciousness?
Are you actually attached, or is it just that the mind goes in that direction?
The mind goes in that direction.
That's different. As long as you're in this material world, you can expect that the mind will be deviated by the environment. Therefore, Krishna says, wherever and wherever the mind wanders, bring it back under the control of the self. The question is, do you really, if you want material happiness or material enjoyment, then that's a problem. These things are residues from our past association with the material energy, and they're rekindled by the present environment and by our association also. Just like if you eat food cooked by non-devotees, you can expect, you might be watching, cartoons in your dreams or something. It was one devotee was... It's a very senior devotee. He had one of his disciples cook for him. And then he said to her after, "Are you listening to Beatles music?" She said, "How did you know, Maharaj?" He said, "I just had some of your cooking." So, the consciousness of the cook comes into our consciousness from the food. And then we're in some movie theater. Sometimes it's a horror movie too. So therefore we have to be careful not to become victimized by what we say the environment or by the association. And that'll take time. If you're a preacher, you should know that you're gonna have to really fight. As a preacher, you're in contact with people who are impure, and are also going to dump their garbage on you. When you hear people's problems, that goes into your consciousness also. And learning how to preach means to detach yourself from people's experience. You have to be like a doctor who's well and is trying to treat a patient who is sick. Don't let the patient give you the disease, even though they want to give it to you. Preaching means to somehow or other not be affected by the negativity you have to deal with. So sometimes that comes. It comes to the preachers a lot. That's why they become affected. Sometimes they empathize too much. I have to put myself in the place of this person so I can help them. No, if you do that, you go down also. You have to somehow or other be detached from the situation and treat it like a doctor treats a patient, that's all. By giving the medicine and not being victimized by the disease of the patient. So that's, sometimes your mind will, because of that, because as a preacher, you'll find that is there. You get that. So you have to be careful. He said, no, when you're preaching, it's not like it's so nice. It's nice, but you also, you can pick up the energy that's around you easy, you know. Very easy. That's why, as a preacher, you need to take a break and go on a japa retreat, go on a reading retreat, just do a retreat, and just when we say go back and emphasize pure Krishna consciousness, get fired up, get restocked up again. To stay on the preaching field, we can't be like Prabhupada. Prabhupada was just too pure for us. To try to imitate Prabhupada, you'll fall down easy. So we need to also, you know, stock up on Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the holy name in order to deal with that. So yeah, the mind may also gravitate towards these things just by the association around you or by the environment. But then again, you also have to ask, do I still look towards the material energy for some happiness? If you're still looking toward that, then these thoughts will still, they'll come regularly. But if you don't want them, you're not interested in material energy anymore, you understand that material happiness is just a, what we say, what is the word? Oxymoron. There's no such thing as a material happiness. When you realize that through your own power of devotional service, then you still may be, you know, subjected to these thoughts, but it's not like, you know, one who is actually looking for these things. You just have, when you do, you just have to kind of like be ready for that. Just like Prabhupada said, he said, sometimes the spiritual master has bad dreams due to picking up the karma of his disciples. So please follow the four regulative principles and don't give your spiritual master any trouble. So, okay, does that help answer your question? Okay, that was a pretty long answer, but I hope it helped.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much. So, in the last sentence of the purport, Prabhupada writes, when one meets Narada or his representative, a spiritual master, he is freed from all anxiety brought about by ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very straightforward declaration. So I wonder if you could possibly please expand a little bit what exactly goes on the part of the disciple in order for that to come
about. One has to open themselves up to the presence of the pure devotee. There's another example, being in the presence of a great soul, but not really being in their presence. In other words, Prabhupada used an example, a flea is on top of a king, but what does the king and the flea have to do with each other? Although the flea's right next to the king. So to be with a saintly person means to welcome them, to hear from them, and to serve them. Three things. To welcome them, what did the prajetas do? They welcomed them. Now they're ready to hear for them. And then later they'll also offer service to them. Like that. Because when you hear from a saintly person, you're also obliged to offer some service, or at least try to come forward and offer something like that, in one form or another. A saintly person might just say, just serve Krishna, you know, like that. That's fine. But those three things, to hear, to welcome, to honor, to use welcoming words or sweet words, to hear, that's the main thing, to hear from them, and to think, what can I do to serve? Right, three things. And then you're in the association. At least hear and be pleased by their presence. Consider yourself fortunate to get that. Sometimes devotees say, you know, I don't get much association with, you know, senior devotees. because maybe because of my location or whatever. But then I say, well, you have to. And then you have to seek it out. And then you have to make some endeavor to find it. You have to go for it. Yes.
This is a question, kind of follow up from yesterday's discussion, if that's all right.
Yes, sure.
You were discussing humility as like the ornament of all ornaments of a devotee.
Yeah.
And we were discussing how can we, what does humility really mean? Because we often have this materialistic.
Oh, who's got their Veda base? Okay. We'll hear it from Prabhupada. Chapter 13 of Bhagavad Gita. You know the verse, right? 8 through 10, 8 through 12. 13, 8 through 12. Okay. So. And then go. You have to scroll down the page a little bit to get to humility. Yeah. Where's the microphone?
Okay, it says here, purport. As for the knowledge outlined here, the items may be analyzed as follows. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others, but from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows that he is not this body, anything, honor or dishonor, pertaining to his body is useless. One should not be hankering after the material deception. That's
yes. Yeah, that's complete. Not wanting the distinction to be honored by others. Amaninam amanadena. To not to want to be honored, but at the same time give honor. And that's one of the principles, or what we say, qualities that are necessary in order to chant the holy name properly. If you want respect and honor, when you get it, you're happy. When you don't get it, you're not happy. It's a form of expectation also. And it's false too, because honor pertains to the body. Like that. So, like that. Honor and dishonor, what do they say? Honor and praise and blame is only, praise and blame is just the same, only difference in name. And man, that's a shame. That's my, I had that one on. Little poetry here. To look for praise, to look for praise, you know. Okay, somebody praises you. Oh, you feel, oh, yes, they finally understood. Yeah, you know, and somebody doesn't praise you. What's wrong with you? Don't you know that other person? He knows really me. You don't know me. If you are looking for praise, you'll get blame also. You get both, but you can't have one without the other, and therefore you won't be happy. It's artificial. It's external. It has nothing to do with, you know, it actually causes, it can cause one to fall down also. And devotees, sometimes we praise each other and we honor each other. That's also devotional culture. But when you get praised, you should just pass it on. You should say thank you very much, but it belongs to my spiritual master. It's actually the mercy of the Lord. Like that. So I would just pass it on. If you don't pass it on, you keep it, then the false ego gets stronger. So people will praise you. People will criticize you. You know, Judd Bart, he was completely oblivious to that. No matter what people said, he didn't care. But yet, he was the greatest scholar. He could recite, you know, spiritual knowledge verbatim. He understood everything. It wasn't like he was oblivious. But when it came to praise and blaming, and you can see that sometimes people praise you and that same person will find fault with you later on. It's just like that, right? Because when you live up to their expectations, they like it. And when they don't, then you're out, man. All right, what happened to you? You didn't satisfy my senses anymore. So it's really a dangerous position. It's really a dangerous position. So sometimes you get upset if somebody criticizes you or says something negative. But learn how to see. It's just has to do with the material body, that's all. Even if you get upset, okay, but just let it slide. Don't let it bother you so much. We'll be affected to some degree, but not so much. Just like if I say, you're ugly. Well, that may be true, but it's my body that's ugly, not me. So I'm not the body. Right? Right? It's the body. So you're praising and blaming what? The body. And the body is not me anyway. But you think it's you. Or you think, well, I'm giving respect to others. Why don't people respect me? I'm a nice person. I give respects to others. But Lord Chaitanya says, you should respect others, but don't expect respect for yourself. If you get it, okay, thank you, pass it on. But don't look for it. That's the idea. That's the point. To want respect, to want honor like that. So one who's humble, really humble, they're not looking for it. And if they get it, they just pass it on. That's what humility means. They don't need it. They're engaged nicely in devotional service and they're finding happiness there, not on the praise that they get or don't get. Okay? That's humility. Humility means no expectations. Sometimes a guru has to train his disciple and he puts himself in a position of appearing to have expectations, but it's not. He's just doing that to train his disciple, to teach him how to serve the spiritual master. The temple president may also do that, demand certain things in order because it's the best thing for the operation of the temple and the best thing for the devotee. So one who's acting on behalf of Krishna may seem to be pretentious or proud, but actually, they're not. But when you act on behalf of yourself, that's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing. Okay, does that help? Anything else? Any other questions? Thank you. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jaya.